Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with the fall of Nineveh as we pick up at Nahum chapter 1, verse 11. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
In verse 11, he is making this reference to the Rabbakshuk who came with his blasphemous letter from Sennacherib, blaspheming the God in whom the Israelites were trusting. There is one that has come out of thee that imagines evil against the Lord. He is a wicked counselor. And thus saith the Lord, though they be quiet, and likewise many, yet thus shall they be cut down when he shall pass through. The angel of the Lord passed through, and 185,000 of them were cut down. For now will I break his yoke from off thee, and will burst thy bonds in sunder. So the siege that the Assyrians had against Jerusalem was broken when God passed through and destroyed their forces. And the Lord hath given a commandment concerning thee, that no more of thy name be sown. Out of the house of thy gods will I cut off the graven image and the molten image, and I will make thy grave, for thou art vile. Now he leaves the immediate scene, and his prophecy goes into the future, on even future from our present day, into the glorious day of the kingdom of God. Behold, upon the mountains, the feet of him that brings good tidings, that publishes peace. Now, the immediate prophecy was when Nineveh falls, oh, how great will be the tidings of the messengers that come running with the news that Nineveh has been destroyed. The world will rejoice. But yet it is, in its secondary sense, a prophecy of the future. And you remember Isaiah made a similar prophecy in the 52nd chapter, verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that brings good tidings, that publishes peace, that brings good tidings of good, that publishes salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Now, Paul quoted from Isaiah in Romans, the 10th chapter, as he's talking about how shall they believe except they hear? How shall they hear except someone preach? How shall they preach except they be sent? As the scripture says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those that bring good tidings of peace. So Paul quotes that in Romans, the 12th chapter. Now, Isaiah and Nahum lived about the same time, and these verses are quite similar, as Isaiah is talking of the future age and Nahum of the destruction of Nineveh and the glorious news that will come. O Judah, keep thy solemn feast. Israel, of course, has already perished. They've already been destroyed by Assyria. Perform thy vows, for the wicked shall no more pass through thee. He is utterly cut off. The Assyrians aren't going to come back again. They've been utterly cut off. Of course, later on, the Babylonians came under Nebuchadnezzar and did destroy Jerusalem. But as far as the Assyrians, they're utterly cut off. Have any of you met an Assyrian lately? They've been cut off. And now he is describing the siege of Assyria by the Babylonian and Mede Confederacy, referring to these men as those that dash in pieces. He that dashes in pieces is come up before thy face. Keep your fortress. Watch the way. Make your loins strong. Fortify thy power mightily. For the Lord hath turned away the excellency of Jacob as the excellency of Israel. For the emptiers have emptied them out and marred their vine branches. The shield of his mighty men is made red. The valiant men are in scarlet. This is describing now the Babylonian Mede army. And there are some people who say that the Bible predicts the automobile age, and they use these scriptures as such. But that's sort of a far-flung, I don't go along with that, but it's interesting. He says, the chariots shall be with flaming torches, the headlights of the cars. In the day of his preparation, and the fir tree shall be terribly shaken. The chariots shall rage in the streets, that is the modern freeways. And they shall jostle one against another in the broad ways. They shall seem like torches. They shall run like the lightning. Now you have to admit that it's a pretty good description of the automobile, but surely that was not the intention of the prophet, but he was talking about the chariots of the Babylonians and of the Medes that would be going through the streets of Nineveh and bringing destruction to Nineveh. He shall recount his worthies. They shall stumble in their walk. They shall make haste to the wall thereof, and the defense shall be prepared. The gates of the river shall be open, and the palace shall be dissolved. Now, another fascinating prophecy. For as you read the historical account, though they were besieging the walls of Nineveh, yet they were unable to penetrate. But there came a tremendous storm. Several inches of rain fell in a short period of time, and the Tigris River that flowed through the city of Nineveh came into flood stage, and the flooding of the Tigris River undermined the foundations of the walls, and a great portion of the walls of Nineveh were destroyed by the flooded Tigris River. And before they could rebuild the walls, of course, as soon as the flood receded, the armies came through the breach made in the walls by the floods. And again, the gates of the river shall be open and the palace shall be dissolved. The foundations were dissolved. Of course, the king went into his treasuries with all of the wealth and all of his kingdom, and he torched himself and his treasury. But of course, they just took the melted gold and silver then from it. Huzzab means that which is destined shall be led away captive. She shall be brought up as her maid shall lead her, as with the voice of doves, as they are smiting on their breast. But Nineveh is of old like a pool of water. Yet they shall flee away. Stand, stand, they shall cry, but none will look back. A panic will take hold. The people begin to run. And the others will call, come on, stand, stand. But panic will have overtaken them and they will flee. And of course, you read the historical record and you find that's what happened. Take ye the spoil of silver. Take the spoil of gold, for there is no end of the store. Tremendous wealth was gained by the Babylonians and the Medes in the conquest of Nineveh. For there is no end of the store and the glory out of all of the pleasant furniture. She is empty and void and waste, and the heart melts and the knees smite together, and there is much pain in all the loins, and the faces of them all gather blackness. Where is the dwelling of the lions and the feeding place of the young lions? Where the lion, even the old lion, walked and the lion's whelp, and none made them afraid? Where is that city of Nineveh that was like a lion conquering all? The lion did tear in pieces enough for his whelps and strangled for his lionesses, and he filled his holes with prey and his dens with raven. Behold, I am against thee, saith the Lord of hosts. I will burn her chariots in the smoke, and the sword shall devour thy young. And I will cut off thy prey from the earth, and the voice of thy messengers shall no more be heard. Rabbeshek and those other messengers cut off forever. Woe to the bloody city. It is all full of lies and robbery, and the prey departs not. The noise of a whip and the noise of the rattling of the wheels and the prancing of the horses and of the jumping chariots. I suppose that would have been helicopters. The horseman lifteth up both the bright sword and the glittering spear. And there is a multitude of slain and a great number of carcasses, and there is no end of their corpses. they stumble upon their corpses. Because of the multitude of thy whoredoms, and God now giving the reason why Nineveh was to be destroyed, of the well-favored harlot, the mistress of witchcraft, the sorceries, the witchcrafts, the occult practices that went on in Nineveh, that sell nations through her whoredoms and families through her witchcrafts. Behold, I am against thee, saith the Lord of hosts. I will discover thy skirts upon thy face, and I will show the nations thy nakedness and the kingdoms thy shame. And I will cast abominable filth upon thee and make thee vile, and I will set thee as a gazing stock. And it shall come to pass that all that look upon thee shall flee from thee and say, Nineveh is laid waste. Who will bemoan her? Whence shall I seek comforters for thee? Remember, Nineveh was a great city when, at the time of Jonah, the city at that time was 3 days' journey. In other words, starting at one end of the city and walking through it would take you 3 days. There were, at the time of Jonah, 60,000 babies too young to know their right hand from their left hand. So the population of Nineveh was probably somewhere around the million mark, an extremely large city, and yet the judgment of God is to come. They are to be laid waste. And now the Lord says, are you better than the pop? You think you're going to escape the judgment of God? Are you better than the populace? No. Now this no would be Noaman in Egypt, which was destroyed. It was called Thebes by the Greeks, which was situated among the rivers up in the Nile River, about 400 miles from Cairo. Water surrounding it, the rampart was the sea, or wall was from the sea. Even though Ethiopia and Egypt were her strength, the city of Thebes, and even though Libya joined in her defense, yet was she carried away. She went into captivity. Her young children also were dashed in pieces at the top of all the streets. And they cast lots for her honorable men, and all of her great men were bound in chains. Thou also shalt be drunken. Thou shalt be hid. Thou also shalt seek strength because of the enemy. And all thy strongholds shall be like fig trees with the first ripe figs. If they be shaken, they shall even fall into the mouth of the eater. Behold, thy people in the midst of thee are women. The gates of thy land shall be set wide open unto thine enemies. We made reference how that the city walls were destroyed by the flood. And then the fire shall devour thy bars. When they took the city of Nineveh, then they torched it and left it with just ashes. And so again, this prophecy, the fire shall devour thy bars. Now, prepare for the invasion. Draw water for the siege. Fortify your strongholds. Go into the clay and tread in the mortar. Make strong the brick kiln. There shall the fire devour thee. The sword shall cut thee off. It shall eat thee up like a canker worm or like a locust. Make thyself many as the locusts make themselves many. And thou hast multiplied thy merchants above the stars of heaven. The cankerworm spoileth and then flies away. Thy crowned are as the locusts, and thy captains are as the grasshoppers which camp in the hedges in a cold day. But when the sun arises, they flee away. So the captains and the leaders are going to flee, and their place is not known where they are. Thy shepherds slumber, O king of Assyria. Thy nobles shall dwell in the dust. Thy people are scattered upon the mountains, and no man will gather them. There is no healing of thy bruise. Thy wound is grievous. All that hear the bruit of thee shall clap their hands over thee, for upon whom hath not thy wickedness passed continually? So, God's final declaration, and this is quite awesome, there is no healing of thy bruise. Your wound is grievous. There's no answer. There's no solution. You've gone too far. How terrible when God declares of a man's condition, it's incurable. How terrible when God said, as he did to Jeremiah, Ephraim is joined to her idols, let her alone. When God said, don't pray anymore for their good, for if you do, I will not hear you. When God declares the condition irreparable. Assyria was one of the cruelest empires in history. The Assyrians were sadists. They maimed and tortured their captives. They would oftentimes pull out the tongues, cut off the ears or the noses or the hands, or gouge out the eyes of their prisoners of war. Extremely cruel. It was a deliberate cruelness to strike terror in the hearts of their enemies. And it worked. The world was terrified of Assyria, for Assyria ruled the world, so to speak, for over a century with her cruelty, with her viciousness. So that when the news that Nineveh has been destroyed, left desolate, is nothing but an ash heap, the Assyrians have been slaughtered, when the news comes through the world, people will clap their hands for joy. There will be no grieving for the fall of Nineveh because of their exceeding wickedness. And so, God's witness against the Assyrian Empire, against its capital, Nineveh, and through Nahum, remarkable prophecies that have been completely and literally fulfilled. How could Nahum write of its destruction by the troops becoming drunk and being taken by surprise? How could he write of the wall being destroyed by the river? How could he write of the city being left in ashes? Except that God was directing his pen. As the scripture said, holy men of old wrote as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. And again, these remarkable prophecies of Nahum are a testimony of the authorship of the Bible being none other than God. Man could not have written this account in advance. And had it come to pass so completely, again, just another strong proof that all scripture has been written by inspiration of God. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for thy word and thy faithfulness and thy righteousness, even in judgment. And Father, even as your judgment came against the Ninevites, who had established themselves as your enemies, so we realize that your judgment will one day come against all who have dared to stand against thee. Thank you, Father, for loving us, for drawing us to yourself. Thank you, Father, for your goodness to those who put their trust in you. Thank you, Lord, for the help that you give to us in our days of trouble. and that we can just rely upon you, Lord, and know your help through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Now, Father, hide thy word in our hearts. Impress upon us thy goodness, that we might go, Lord, in thy name to declare thy goodness to a needy world. That we might be the emissaries going out into the world with the good tidings of the gospel of peace, bringing good news to men of the provision that God has made to forgive man their sins. Lord, may we be faithful heralds of thy truth. In Jesus' name.
Continue with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Habakkuk on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Nahum 1 through 3 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
Lord, watch over you as you go. May his hand be upon your life for good. May the Lord bless you and strengthen you and fill you with his Holy Spirit, that you might walk in his love, that you might be an instrument through which he works his work of love in a world that is filled with hate and suspicion. May your life be as a light shining in a dark place, bringing hope to those who sit in darkness. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
The Word for Today is pleased to present a flash drive of audio Bible studies by Kay Smith, titled, A Collection of Cherished Messages. Just listen to what others are saying.
Kay Smith changed my life. Her teachings encouraged me to want more of Jesus. And through her counsel and mentoring, I fell in love with him in a deeper way.
When I first heard Kay, I was driving in my car. I was so moved that it brought me to tears because I needed to repent. That moment impacted my life to be a better mom and who I am today.
Renew your strength, please. I beg, I beseech, I entreat, and if there's any other word, I do that too. Get in his word. Make it more than your necessary food every day.
Kay Smith has a special place in her heart to teach and encourage women to live for Jesus. To order this flash drive with over 90 audio messages by Kay Smith, visit thewordfortoday.org or call 800-272-9673.